This morning on the baby Jesus being taken to the temple 40 days after he was born into the world, Mary went up for purification according to the law of the Lord. The Lord Jesus had already been circumcised as a Jewish male 8 days, and they went to the temple and they met two wonderful saints, Simeon and Anna. And I want to speak about Anna for a while. But it just reminded me that dear girl came and mum and dad brought the baby. I thought, well, that's what I'm going to speak about. They brought this lovely new baby, but he was born to die for our sins on the cross. But what a picture that was. I had an experience on Christmas morning. I hadn't had a brilliant day spiritually. You know, you get the ups and downs spiritually. And I was lying in bed. And I thought, I can hear singing. And I thought, it's somebody outside. Anyway, I went in my study, and I've got this smart kind of radio thing, and it had switched itself on Premier Radio. And as I went in my study, I heard these words, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning." And then there was the most I listened to this carol, and then there was a lovely benediction, the peace of the Lord and all this. And I thought, my, the Lord wants to bless me on this lovely Christmas morning. So I wanted to share that with you, because you don't often get that immediate when you know the Lord's speaking to you and speaking blessing to you, because we know what sinners we are, but it's lovely when the Lord just puts his hand on you, like Tony put his hand on that baby and he blesses you. And that's what I felt happened that morning. So I wanted to share that with you. Luke's Gospel, and chapter 2, let's have a look. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And this is that scene that I described, Mary and Joseph coming to the temple in Jerusalem. And I'll read from verse 21. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus," that means Saviour, "his name was called Saviour, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." That's a messianic title. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem.'" And Lord, please help me as I speak now in Jesus' name. I want to look at this lady, Anna, or in Hebrew, Hannah, with an H. And just a few points about her. The first thing is, and it's very important because these are things you can test yourself on now. Am I like Hannah? Because Hannah's in heaven now. She was the Lord now. She's not in hell, she's in heaven. She was a saved soul. And so the first thing I want to say about her is that she believed God's word. This Bible is true from cover to cover. Every single word, every jot and tittle. If you would disagree with it, you're wrong. The book isn't wrong. And she believed every word of the Bible. The Bible is being taken out of many churches now in order to fulfill the woke agenda and so on. No, she was an Old Testament believer, one of the Old Testament saints. Abraham was. The Lord said to Abraham, as the stars in the sky, so will your descendants be. And what did he say? Abraham believed God. That's how you're saved. You believe God. You believe his word. You don't argue about it. One young man said to me once, if I had one, I'd burn it. No, you believe God's word. And you believe every word that the Lord has said in the Holy Scriptures. Her name means grace. And grace is the way we are saved, God's goodness. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to give you forgiveness of sin, peace with God, and eternal life, because he is a gracious, loving God. So Hannah could say, my name is Anna, it means grace, and I'm a saved soul. I've been saved by the grace of God. The Bible says we are justified freely by God's grace. To be justified is to be declared righteous with the spotless righteousness of God, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's put to your account when you believe on the Lord Jesus. So the scriptures speak about being justified. Anna trusted God. She believed his word. She knew that the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices that were being offered in the temple would one day be superseded and fulfilled by the last great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross. She knew one day the Messiah would come. And the scripture says he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do you know, I don't know about you, but I get sick of myself. I got this old nature and it's there all the time. And I thought this morning, I'd been up about half an hour and I suddenly had a thought. And I thought, that's a sinful thought to have. And I thought, well, you know, we're sinners. We're not right. There's something wrong with us. And I thought one day that old nature will be gone and banished forever. And I'll be with the Lord. But he came for sinners just like Hannah, just like me, just like you. Just like the lad in the gutter on heroin, just like the king in the palace who has no time for God. He came for sinners. She was of a certain tribe, Israel. There are 12 tribes in Israel, of Israel. She was of the tribe of Asher. That's from the north. And Elizabeth, the mother of John Baptist, and her husband Zechariah, they were from the tribe of Levi. They were priests. That was a priestly tribe. The Lord Jesus is the king. So what tribe is he born of? Judah. That's the kingly tribe. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from his feet, from between his feet, until he come, until Shiloh come. Now, Anna is the only person that we can find in scripture, says one of the scholars, of any note from that particular tribe, the tribe of Asher. It was not a great tribe. There may be somebody here this morning, you say, you know, I'm the only Christian in my family. I'm the only Christian in my street or my school or my college. My answer to you would be, praise God that he's called you. Praise God that he's saved you. Praise God that he's passed thousands and thousands of people and come to you and revealed himself to you. How many times do you say, who am I? Why did you choose me, Lord? Why didn't you choose some great person, some great military hero, and save him, and yet you save me? And so if you're the only Christian in your family, you can start praying for that family. I came from a completely heathen pagan family, And yet now I look at, and a lot of my family are believers in Jesus. God answers prayer. So we pray for our families. She was a prophet, the Bible says. Now, there are false prophets and true prophets. The true prophet is in the minority. They're always disliked, true prophets. She believed the prophecies of the scripture, and she was a prophet herself. True prophets proclaim the truth, and that makes them unpopular. They're faithful to the Bible. They're faithful to God's word. Our country has gone right away from the Bible and followed a political agenda. But the Bible never changes. Its message never changes. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, gospel is good news. The good news of the Lord Jesus is, as Tony said, he died for our sins and rose again from the dead. But you give the gospel and it makes, you're not prophesying, but you're preaching. In the New Testament, prophecy is inspired preaching, but that can be one-to-one, can't it? You can meet somebody and they have a big impact on you. And in a sense, when we give the gospel, we're giving prophecy. We're telling, people don't like it because we're telling a man or a woman, you need a savior. Now, people don't like that, because it implies there's something wrong with you. You're not making the grade. You're falling short. In fact, to be brutally honest, you're a dirty, rotten, no good sinner, and you need a savior. And if you don't trust in Christ, you're lost forever. Now, that's not a popular message. But where it's received, then the new birth takes place. There's false prophecy today. You go in churches, they tell you how nice you are, you're wonderful people, just carry on being just the lovely, wonderful people you are, and one day you'll go to a wonderful heaven. It's not true. It's just false. It's false. I don't know how much I can say with this thing's recorded, but it's heartbreaking to me to see some of these bishops and hear the lies they come out with. They're more concerned about the price of oil or whether we're going to save the planet or whether we're going to save souls. They're more concerned about political things that you almost take it for granted that when you hear a clergyman on the television, you won't hear the gospel. And it's sad, except if you turn to the Revelation channel, that's very good, I think, at times. So she was a prophet, and she comes in the long line of prophets heralding a coming savior. There's an early prophecy of the Lord Jesus right back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And it says there that the seed of the woman, that's masculine singular, will bruise the serpent's head. And this is an early prophecy of the coming of our Lord Jesus. In Isaiah the prophet, chapter 7, it tells us that the Lord Jesus, the Savior, will be virgin born. He will be born of a virgin. That's non-negotiable. That's absolute. That's been brought into question. He was born of a virgin. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, you've got these wonderful words, unto us a child is born. That's his first coming. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's his second coming, and his reign over this world that's shortly to commence. The prophecies of a savior are many. He's called the rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse being the father of David, of Judah. In Jeremiah we read, he is the righteous branch, the king that shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. He's also called the Lord our righteousness, which I think is a wonderful title. We need to get this fixed before God. Of ourselves, we have nothing to offer God. We have no righteousness to offer God. There's this idea that if we can live a good enough life and do enough good things, and maybe our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, will be accepted. But we're completely missing the point. Our righteousness, as far as God is concerned, is filthy rags. He will not accept it. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus, his righteousness, his perfect righteousness, is ledgered to our account. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. Can you see that? It's so crucial. We cannot enter heaven as we are. However many good deeds we might have done, however much money we may have given to charity, however many good works we've done, we need the righteousness of Jesus put to our account. So he is called the Lord, our righteousness. All the prophecies converge on this little child born there in Bethlehem. There's a lovely one, I wrote it down, if I can find it. But you, Bethlehem of Judea, it says that because there are two Bethlehems. There's one in the north. This is the one near Jerusalem. How accurate scripture is. But you, Bethlehem of Judea, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. You may wonder about the battles going on in Israel and all the anti-Semitism that's going on. It's not political, it's spiritual. There's a mighty spiritual battle going on. The devil knows these prophecies, that the Messiah will rule on David's throne in Jerusalem, and he's contesting it. We can see that going on now. So he will be born there in Bethlehem. Now, Anna knew these prophecies. As I say, she believed her Bible. Have you got a Bible? Are you reading it? You know, I was thinking, I'm old now, really old, and I look at young people, my lovely grandsons, my granddaughters, starting out in life. There's not a greater life's work than to study the scriptures, to study the Bible, to spend your life soaking in it. This is what Anna did. This is Anna's example at this New Year time. This is what she spent her time doing. She knew the scriptures, so she knew Messiah was coming. Now we know Jesus is coming again. And we know it could be tonight, it could be today, it could be before I finish this message. They don't know that in most of the denominations. Nowhere are they preaching the return of Jesus. We're in the minority. We know the word of God. We know he's coming. We know where he's coming. He's coming to Jerusalem. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. But first he's coming in the air to take his saints to be with him. He's coming for his saints, then with his saints. We know what the word of God says. We're like Anna. She knew. The Pharisees didn't. The scribes didn't. Oh, they knew the original languages and everything else, but they didn't believe them, you see. So when he came, she knew him. Do you see, there's tons of religion going on all the time. I saw a sign on a church as I was going by, and it was an innocent enough sign, and I don't suppose you would raise your eyebrows if you saw it. It just said, Thursday, 7 o'clock, prayer meeting. No, it didn't. It said, Thursday, 7 o'clock, craft fair. It could say, Thursday, 8 o'clock, the Borodin String Quartet, art exhibition. Churches that should be preaching the gospel. Churches that should be announcing that the Lord Jesus coming is imminent. And all the signs are pointing to it. The nations are shaking to pieces. Our nation is collapsing around us. There's trouble with Israel, the God's chosen people. All the signs are screaming out, the Lord's coming. Come to our craft fair. It's nothing but scribes and Pharisees. That's what it is. So don't be surprised when you see this sort of thing going on. Anna wasn't like that. She had her head in this book. She knew what was coming. Also, she was very old. That comforts me. She was very old. She was 84. Do you know, there's a lovely verse in the Bible that says this. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, if you trust God, you're not going to run out of steam. And I like that. You're not going to run out of steam. Anna had grown old in the service of God. She'd been a young woman, now she's an old lady, and she'd served God all her life. And like Moses, she's still strong. She's still like Caleb at 80 said, "Give me this mountain." It's a blessing for me to know people and to meet people who have remained faithful to the Lord down the long decades. They haven't fallen away. They're still here. They're still serving God. You know, I can see a man now in his early 50s, big, 6 foot six, big cap full of badgers all over, surrounded with kids on the beach doing beach mission. And they were spellbound, telling them this story and the stories from the Bible and all that. Well, he's just sent me and Jenny an email. He's now 89, still going for the Lord. That so encourages me, still going for the Lord. It's terrible to meet old people who have got hard against God. As the years have gone by, sin upon sin, and the worst sin of all, refusal to accept Christ, has hardened them. An old person with one foot in hell. Do you know, we know a young woman, and she's a nurse, and over the Christmas period, a man was brought in, evidently dying, conscious but dying, elderly man. And she thought the staff were not too nice with him. They were very busy. So she went over and she started to chat to him and comfort him. And she got hold of his hand and he liked that. And he was smiling and she was talking. He was compos mentis, you know, it wasn't, it was just some other kind of an illness. And so she thought after a while, she mentioned Jesus, snatched his hand away and went like that. That's a terrible way to leave this world. Who's going to save your eternal immortal soul? Who's going to do it? There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you reject him, you're done for. I mean, you are done for. This is so serious. She was an old man, but she was an old lady, but she was blessed. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Who's the blessed man? The man who meditates day and night in the word of God. And that will keep our hearts right. She was a widow, it says about her. So we could say she was faced with one of the great epidemics of our day, which is loneliness, a lonely life. But you know, when she buried her husband, she didn't bury her hopes with him. She didn't bury her hopes in a grave. She devoted herself to God. That's a challenge, isn't it? To be saved is to say, Lord, what there is of me, I'm giving it to you. There isn't much. You know, a man might say, look, Lord, I'm 84, but I'm going to give my life to you right now. What there is left of it, I want you to have it. And the Lord will graciously accept that. He really will. So she was of a great age. And when the Lord took her husband, she turned to the Lord and he just gave her more of himself. He just kept giving her more of himself. His own dear presence to cheer and to guide. So on the basis of what we read here with Anna, whatever happens to us, whatever we might lose, however precious that loss is, if we will reoffer ourselves to God, take my life and let it be. He will sanctify to us our deepest distress. Now, I say that I've been pretty well all my life, but I've known some very choice saints have suffered terribly physically. And I'm not exaggerating when I say they shone for the Lord. I can think of two or three. One's just gone home to the Lord now. He signed for Arsenal at 19. And he was a Welsh international, wasn't a Christian. And he was out drinking with his mates one night and the car crashed. Three of them were killed and he had a broken back. He spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And he was in my church when I was a pastor in South Wales. And he'd come to me sometimes. I can hear him now. I'm not pointing, but he says, Jeff, he says, when I listen to you, I'm going to jump through a wall, he said. And he was so encouraging, always encouraging. I don't know, he suffered terribly, but I always left visiting Hayden blessed. Because what there was of him, he'd offered to God. I said, it's a tragedy, Hayden, what happened to you. Best thing that ever happened, Jeff. Best thing that ever happened to me, because it brought me to the Lord. Do you see how precious the Lord is? Whatever was left of Anna, she offered it as a sweet savour to God. You say, well, I've got all my life in front of me. I'm young, I'm strong. Offer it to God. You say, I'm old, I've got a lot of ailments. I've got this, I've got that. Just offer yourself to God. He will use you. You will be a fragrance. Don't say, as a Christian, I've nothing to offer. I have a terrible habit of comparing myself with other people. Don't do that. Just offer yourself. Don't say, I'm alone, I'm old, I'm ill, I'm vulnerable. If only, God is seeking you now, just as you are, if you'll give yourself to him. See, people don't mind signing up for a few rules and regulations. That's what the cults do. Well, here's the list. You don't drink tea, you don't get coffee. So you can't celebrate Christmas, and by the way, you can't have a blood. Do that. Yeah, all right, I sign up. That's not like that. The Lord says, no, I want you. Everything. I want you. Salvation isn't a sort of deal that you make. You give yourself, and she'd done that. So the Lord is seeking you this morning. One of the choicest saints in the Bible that you can meet in the New Testament is a single woman, probably fairly elderly, who, wherever we find her in the Bible, she is worshipping Jesus. Her name was Mary of Bethany. She's always at the feet of Jesus. You see, how can I put this? I like to watch sometimes Revelation TV, but they did a series called 100 Great Christians, right? And I found out one of these great Christians, a few years later, turned to the Roman Catholic Church and joined them. That's another story. But 100 great Christians, and every one of them has done fantastic works, marvelous works. They've done this, they've done that, they've been to orphanages, and that's fantastic and wonderful. And we praise the Lord for that. But it never said, oh, here's one of 100 great Christians. What did you do? Well, I sat at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, but what did you do? Well, that's all I did. I just worshipped him. Hey? Well, we can't have you on the list. You didn't do anything. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? We're in a helter-skelter, mad world. Everybody's on this phone all the time. You've got not a minute to think. This woman and Anna together sat at the feet of Jesus and worshipped him. And they're here in the Bible as those who gave their best to him. So, elderly or sick or dear brother or sister, if you're struggling, you just worship the Lord where you are. And, you know, he will accept that and he'll bless you for it. Anna never departed from the temple. She was always there. She was a constant, devout worshipper of God. Do you think Anna and Simeon would chat together? I think they would. It's said that he was an aged man. And I think they would often get together and share what the Lord had given them and what the Lord had been speaking to them and so on, because they were always in his presence all the time. It wasn't a quick 5-minute, and they're off. It wasn't like that with them. There was a woman who had been bound for 16 years. She was bent double. She couldn't move hardly. And yet every time the synagogue met, there she was. And one morning, she turned up as usual, and there was the Lord Jesus, and he raised her up. So even attending regularly a place of worship, it's so important, isn't it? She served God with fastings and prayers. I've nearly finished. There's a word in the Bible. It says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I wonder how many times that dear woman had prayed, Lord, send your salvation. Maybe she met with Simeon sometimes. I'm praying, Simeon. I'm praying, Anna. Lord, send your salvation. Send your salvation. What's the last prayer of the Bible? The Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord. Come, Lord. The Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come. Do we pray it? Six petitions in that one short prayer. Six petitions. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not the will of Sir Keir Starmer or anybody else, or the Pope who was the other day blessing an ice cube. It's not about to save the planet. No, Lord, your kingdom come. We pray for the coming of the Lord, don't we? Yeah. The last prayer of the Bible. So can the Lord find somebody who says, I'm going to give you hours a day? No, I'm going to give you hours a day. I know a lot of you have got high-powered jobs and God has put you there. And that's absolutely right. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But there may be a few that have got time on their hands and can spend that time with the Lord like Anna did. And she even fasted, didn't she, with it. And it says she gave thanks to the Lord. That's another thing about her. She prayed, but she gave thanks to the Lord. There's a lovely verse in the Bible. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. The offering had incense on it, and that's the incense of thanksgiving. We go through dry times spiritually, and I decided a couple of years ago when we sat down for a meal, instead of just saying, Lord, I thank you for the food, we'd sing something. Because it talks about the sacrifice of praise. So you sit down and eat your meal. Before you have your meal, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you pray and you sing the grace. And that kind of lit up my spirit. Because praise, there's something about praising God. It's offering the incense. She came into the temple at that instant as they brought the baby Jesus. That was no coincidence. That was the Lord rewarding that faithful soul. The glory had returned to the temple, and the Lord wants her to see it. The Lord wants her to see it. And she hears those marvelous words of Simeon, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy great salvation. She spoke of him. That's the last thing. She spoke of him. Verse 30. Well, obviously, she was always with the Lord. She was always at the Lord's feet. Well, she was always talking about him then. She got nothing else to talk about. And that's a lovely thing. When a person has had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because salvation is a revelation of Jesus. If you haven't had it, ask for it. Say, Lord Jesus, would you show yourself to me like you showed yourself to the shepherds that Christmas time? That you reveal yourself to me, Lord. You see, the shepherds were wise men because they came to Jesus. And she spoke to whoever she could about the Lord. The first question in the New Testament was the question that the wise men asked. Where is he? Where is he? And you come to your study in the morning, your quiet place, and you say, Lord, are you there? You're coming to me? And we fellowship with him. So this is Anna. And it's lovely, her whole story. She's not a woman glued to the telly, because they didn't have one. But they certainly would have had an equivalent to the telly, because the devil can always provide something to keep us away from God. He'll always provide something. But she wasn't. As I look at this woman, she was a woman of worship. She was a woman who'd given herself to God. That's my challenge if you're not a Christian this morning. Will you give yourself to God? I know all about this because I used to make deals with the Lord. I didn't know him. I wasn't a Christian. My wife was a Christian, but I wasn't. And I quite fancied the kind of peace they had. I thought, ooh, I could do with a bit of that. I was really in turmoil. So I used to say, can you give me this peace? Got silence. They all looked so happy. I said, Jen, they can't be that happy. They're just really dead miserable like me. But I thought, no, they... I said, well, can I have this happiness, God? Dead silence. all right, here's some money. And I gave a lot of money. And I gave it I gave it to the Salvation Army. And I walked away, I thought, now I'll get it, peace. I'm waiting, you know. Nothing happened, dead silence. Then from millions of miles away, a voice came, I don't want your money. Don't want your good deeds. I want you. It's you I want. Do you know that's a challenge? We don't mind so long as we're at the steering wheel of life and we make the decisions. But when you hand that steering wheel over, that's different. And that's what salvation is. Her worship was that she gave herself to the Lord. Will you do that? You say, well, I've got this to do and that to do. I've got my plans to make. No deal. Will you give yourself as you are now? She was faithful, prayerful, full of thanksgiving, constant in attendance at the Lord's temple, constant in her testimony about Christ. And she's an 84-year-old woman. So his coming was no surprise to Anna. She was waiting for it. And his coming the second time will be no surprise to those whose heads are in the Bible, because they know the next great event on God's calendar is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is he your Saviour this morning? Have you given your life to him? She was 84, so it doesn't matter how old you are. I was 33 when I became a Christian. My daughter, Claire, was 6. So it doesn't matter. Whosoever, Jesus says, will come to me, I'll save you. That's what he said. That's his promise. So I'll leave it there. We'll sing our closing song. We rest on thee.